And welcome into the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing? What's going on? An immediate mute from Rex Road to start out of the gate today. An extended mute from Joe Rex Road to start to get started off today.
Okay, so Zoom is just really annoying, man. I know that some people would probably, you know, look at themselves in the mirror and take personal accountability, but I'm going to blame this computer application.
That was your best one in a while.
Well, it does the thing in the, you know what I'm talking about? It does the thing in the middle now.
Yeah.
I could take some blame for this one. I probably could have given you a heads up.
No, Ian, you're not taking blame for this. This is an ongoing battle for 5 years.
Yeah, actually, Ian, no, I appreciate you being willing to do that, but you should not take any blame. This has happened last time. The same thing happened. So, I mean, it just takes me like 9 times to figure anything out, so.
Ian immediately trying to fall on the sword. What a guy he is. But like, yeah. No, Ian, you're not falling on this sword. I won't let you.
The audience knows I'm an idiot. It's fine.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. Got a lot to get into on the show today. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans as we are 1 week and 1 day away from the NFL draft. Joe, one thing we'll get to later this hour, which I'm excited to discuss with you, is, you know, last night was confirmation that Cam Ward is more like Kyler Murray than maybe even I thought heading into this. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the program, coming up later this hour. I want to start with kind of picking up where we left off with the Snead conversation yesterday. Obviously, with the civil case going on, we'll see what exactly happens there, how that plays out, and whether or not there's any supplemental discipline that could be coming from the NFL side of things as that process goes on. In the meantime, you do have the NFL draft coming up next week if you're the Titans. And the list of positions of need are long. We've highlighted the three all offseason long that really stand out as quarterback, edge rusher, and wide receiver in some combination there. I guess my question is, with Snead going through his thing, you got a Woozy already gone. How much is corner starting to enter your mind as a position of need for the Tennessee Titans? And Trevor Maddich was on with Stillman and Company yesterday, and Jared asked him about corner, whether or not the Titans could get involved there, and if so, who could be available in some spots where the Titans may be able to take a high-level cornerback. Here's what Trevor Maddich had to say yesterday.
Once you get past the top guys, you end up with just sort of a bunch of people. So now, where are the traits? Another guy you mentioned is Siobhan Revell of East Carolina, and he's a guy that's really rocketed up a lot of people's draft boards because he's tested very, very well. And the thing about him that is good is that he's got a really good combination of long arms, long legs, top end speed, and he can really disrupt passes by reaching in because he has all that length and he's fast. But then again, he also is a guy that's kind of raw when it comes to his technique. So if you're looking for a guy that's got a lot of length and can disrupt because of that, then you're looking for a guy like Revell. If you're looking for a guy with a lot of raw speed, then you're looking for a guy like Hairston. By the way, Revell is 6'2", 194. He's a really big guy. Hairston is 5'11", 183. So Hairston, the speed guy. Revell, the length guy. So which guy do you think you can coach up the best around the traits that you want to draft? And those are two guys that are examples of having great traits, but they need coaching up.
So that was Trevor Maddich yesterday, Joe. And he's talking about guys in Revell and Hairston that could be there when 35 rolls around. And could be there, I guess, theoretically, if you trade back from 35 a little bit deeper into the second round and pick up some extra picks along the way. So, Joe, I'll start there. What do you make of corner with the latest on the Snead stuff? Is that creeping into area of need for you? And what do you make of what this class could look like at that spot?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about sucking this bad is that, I mean, really, you can make a case for just about any position. Obviously, this one starting to look a little bit more wobbly. I'm a big believer in, you know, in the best available thing as an approach. And so, I think the Titans can still get by with what they have. Now, that's still, you know, assuming health, but I think they can get by even if you take Snead out of the equation with Brownlee's emergence. Baker, you know, McCreary, I mean, you know, like they're okay. They're not in a position of having to go out there and just find anybody off the street to start at corner for them. But yeah, it becomes a little bit more of a need. But I mean, I just feel like you have to just get the best players all the time. And if you draft like that over and over again, then you're going to end up with a much better team than if you're always one like, well, what do we need more? You know, if you're splitting hairs, fine, go with need. But if you're not splitting hairs, then you just go with the best player. I mean, I think that's, you know, been proven as a better way to draft. So, as far as the corners in this class, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know the high end guys, but I mean, I haven't heard of it being like a tremendously, you know, distinguished class, bad or good.
Yeah, like Madge was talking there about a couple of guys that are interesting that do have those traits. And look, he's right. Like when you get past, obviously, Travis Hunter and the Will Johnsons of the world and those guys, like once you dip into the second round with some of those guys, then that's what you're trying to identify there is. And he brought up Revell specifically, like the size and speed there. Could that guy still be there? The traits could be very tempting if you're the Titans. The thing is, like I still, even if I'm scared to death of what's going to happen with Snead, and look, I don't know how the Titans view his, you know, legal situation right now. How do they feel about that? Are they concerned that that's going to cost him playing time? I have no idea how the Titans feel about that. Like I'm still just as concerned about the injury part of Snead as anything else right now. But you are correct in saying that they have some options there beyond him that can at least go out there and play. I'm looking at edge rusher right now. They don't have very many options that I think can go out there and play. So right. Edge rusher is still, I think, way more of a need than corner is. I think wide receiver is way more of a need than corner is. But like there was probably a point earlier in the offseason that even though I didn't trust L'Jarius Snead and Chidobe Awuzie necessarily to stay healthy, you looked at the roster, both of them were on it, and you had Brownlee, and you had McCreary, and you got Baker back, and it was like, okay, well, maybe you don't feel great about the health of those two guys up front, but it's not anywhere near a need for this team based on everything else that they have. We're starting to creep into need in my mind. Like, you know, I don't think it's a high need, but I would put it kind of like I view tight end right now, Joe. Like, can they get by without drafting a tight end this year? Sure. I mean, they've got a couple guys that can play tight end, but eventually, here in the next year or so, they're going to have to address corner. I think they're going to have to address tight end based on the way things are going right now.
Yeah, I think also with both those positions, you can find undrafted guys who can at least fill out your roster and give you some depth, you know. And so, I mean, I'm sure at least at one of them, that's what the answer is going to have to be.
Yeah.
You know, if somehow, you know, I mean, this isn't going to happen because they're taking Cam Ward. But, like, if they were to trade out, you know, whatever, the Saints go nuts or whatever, you know, dream scenario you want to come up with, like, you know, a guy like Will Johnson, I think he's tremendous.
Yeah.
I think Barron from Texas too. Like if you were mid first round and one of those guys was available, you know, then if that is the best player on the board, I don't have a problem with it. Even though, you know, like you said, the needs are more severe at other spots, but they're not going to be in that position anyway. So that wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be shocking for them to deeper in the draft take a flyer on a corner Mattich talked about those two guys. There's Jacob Paris from Kansas State is another guy. Darian Porter from Iowa State's another guy. I guess it's amazing how the needs can actually seem to be growing during this time. This was supposed to be, the whole idea was like, let's get it to where there's no position where it's absolutely like you have to, you like fill the needs, and it's going the other way with crap like this with Snead.
It's not what you want. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We are off and running today on Robbie and Rex Road. Take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Recent developments in the NFL, the way things have gone the last couple years at rookie quarterback. I'm very curious. How curious is that? How much is that going to affect how Titans fans view the success or failure of Cam Ward in year one? I got some thoughts on that. Want to get Joe's thoughts on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame beginning at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. So, Joe, been a pretty good run of success in the very quick recent past of rookie quarterbacks here. So the two examples that come to mind, obviously, that have been extreme are C.J. Stroud a couple years ago in Houston, who was taken number 2 overall, and Jaden Daniels last year in Washington, who was taken number 2 overall, that led his team to the conference championship game. I would go even beyond that, Joe, specifically with last year's class, where I think of the first-round quarterbacks that we saw actually play last year, so that excludes J.J. McCarthy from this conversation, and we'll see what he looks like this year, I think. But Caleb Williams, while he probably did not live up to some of the crazy stuff that was being said about him heading into last year, about, there's some Bears fans and some media out there that thought he was going to be in the conversation for MVP. Didn't quite get to that. But I do think, Joe, you walked away from Caleb Williams last year saying, all right, he showed some flashes that he could be pretty good, made some plays where he improvised out there, the arm talent's pretty evident. And you walk away at the end of the year feeling like he's got a chance to be pretty good. We know what Daniels did. Same thing with Drake May. Like, by the time the end of the year came around, you felt like he's got a chance to be pretty good. I think Atlanta's really high on what they saw from Michael Penix. And obviously, Bo Nix, took the Broncos to the playoffs in his first year. So, that's a pretty good run right now from rookie quarterbacks, at least in the very recent examples, that have gone well. So I wonder how that influences how Titans fans and how NFL people at large view Cam Ward this year when he's drafted number 1 overall by the Titans. Like, how do you define what success is? Because I'm looking around at this, like Stroud, right? Stroud, I think the roster that he came into in Houston ended up being a lot better than maybe we thought heading into that year, and that's the way it played out. Washington was interesting last year because they signed all these guys to like 1-year deals, and they went on a parade of like signing people to 1-year deals, and it worked out last year. And he had Terry McLaurin there and all those things. So maybe the situations that for sure Stroud, I think you could argue Daniels and some of these other guys like Caleb Williams have gone into are better than what the current situation looks like for the Titans. And we've talked about how important situation is to these rookie quarterbacks, but it is, pretty good run of success that the rookie quarterbacks have been on the last couple of years here. So, Joe, with all that being said, how do you view this? How do you view what success looks like for a rookie quarterback? And do you think the perception of that, has it all been warped by what we've seen the last couple of years with Stroud, Daniels, and the like?
Ooh, look at the unmute.
That's good. Oh,
deft. Skillful. Yeah, I in some minds, but again, like if you're going to look at the whole landscape, you also realize those two guys are still one of each class with a variety of struggles among the other players, and including the number one overall picks of both years did not have number one overall picks. I mean, especially Bryce, especially my guy Bryce Young, who may be on his way back, baby. But Caleb was good last year. I saw our buddy Nick Baumgartner had a redraft, and he picked Daniels for the Bears. I'd love to know how many Bears fans, like, to being totally honest, if they could just anonymously submit their vote, would make that choice.
It would be hard not to make that choice right now, based on the way that the first year played out.
Yeah, like I understand the argument to not, because I totally, Caleb Williams still has all those traits that are, and he definitely made plays last year that were spectacular, that were like, wow, like not a lot of people can make those plays. But yeah, I would. I'll take the kid who seems to have the game slowed down already and just makes the right play over and over again, you know? And so, but you know, he is, I mean, yeah, I still feel like those guys are, they're outliers to an extent. They are more the exception than they are the rule. So, I mean, like, I think if you're a Titans fan looking at Cam Ward, obviously you'd love to have that. But you just don't want it to me, like, you just don't want it to be like Bryce Young's rookie year. Look at the other side. Look at the other side of the range here. Yep. You just, to me, if you're in there, like Drake May, okay, like Drake May to me is an example of, I mean, shoot, there was all this talk about Milton beating him out last camp, which, I mean, it's pretty hilarious. Amazing. Pretty amazing coming from, like, some of the people who were, like, talking about it, like, who, like, cover that franchise. But, you know, he it was not some grand, glorious rookie year. But by the end, you're like, okay, yeah, he's a guy. He's a dude. There's gonna be something there. That, to me, is, like, a more realistic hope for, yeah, like, a Cam Ward rookie year.
Yeah, like, I almost don't even like putting Penix in this conversation because he played, what did he play, five games? I think he played five right. games last year. So, while he did show some flashes in those five games of looking decent, it's five games. So I need to see it for longer than that on the Penix front. But, like, again, May, by the end of the year, I think he took some lumps early and looked pretty good by the end of the year. Bo Nix, I mean, we've talked about it. I was stunned by how good Bo Nix looked last year. So,
yeah,
like, sometimes it's just about where you land the fit. Like, clearly Sean Payton identified Bo Nix as somebody that he really, really liked. And when they took him in the draft at the spot that they did, which I believe was 12 overall, I remember thinking, what in the world's he doing? Like, why is he going to get Bo Nix? And so far through year one, it looks like a pretty good idea. So, like, there is some pretty recent run here of good decisions on the quarterback front. I do think, you know, this is also the dangerous game that you play, which is why, you know, not every draft is equal when it comes to the quarterback position. I mean, fair or not, Cam Ward's about to go number one overall, and he's going to be compared to these guys. He's going to be compared to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud and all those guys. And if he comes out and he doesn't look anything close to, like, what C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels look like in their first year, people are going to say, what's going on? Now, I tend to be more with you, like, I think sometimes you see these rookie quarterbacks, regardless of where they're drafted, go through their lumps and don't make it look as easy as Daniels and C.J. Stroud did immediately in the NFL, and then they still end up working through it and having good NFL careers. But it's not great timing-wise for Cam Ward to have the last 2 years just this phenom rookie quarterbacks that have come out there and lit the league up immediately the way they have.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know who Nick had the Titans redrafting, by the way,
no.
last year? Bo Nix.
Ooh.
But see, like, I just, I mean, like,
he kind of seems like hand and glove fit with Peyton, though.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, hey, maybe not. Maybe there's just something to someone plays in college football that long, and you kind of still think they're something, but they've actually become a much better, you know, player. And so maybe he would have worked out anywhere, but I do tend to feel like he had to be with Peyton, and it's just we'll see. Again, we'll see if he continues it, because you also see sometimes guys have great starts and then it does, you know, they can't maintain it. There's that element of this too. But yeah, last year's class overall. Now Penix, yeah, I think that's where there is a benefit to being with Kirk Cousins. I mean, being with, like, a guy who absolutely maximizes what he can do at the QB position. So you're in a room with him all year long, and also having all that time before you have to see the field. That's great, but we know that Cam Ward won't get that benefit.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Some of your thoughts to get to on the rookie quarterback and the comparison to Cam Ward front on the text line. We'll do that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We got a chance for you to win an exclusive Keith Urban experience. Text in the keyword Keith to 615-737-1025 and receive a link to sign up for a chance to win all-inclusive tickets to the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Keith Urban, plus also a chance for you to win $1,000 in cash as well. Just text the keyword Keith to 615-737-1025. Joe, some thoughts to get to on the rookie quarterback front on the text line. Ed says, I think we get caught up in stats and comparisons way too much. I want to see if he's as clutch as he's shown to be in college. Can he convert big third downs, make the big play when needed? This from Ed on the text line, which Joe seems like a level-headed take. I respect it from Ed.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, but, you know, first of all, the comparisons, like, it's always going to happen. So just embrace it, Ed. Embrace debate and yelling about dumb things in this realm of sports media. You know, also, like, we're going to compare people. I mean, I can't help it. So, and you know, stats, I agree. Like, ultimately, like, Steve McNair, as we talk about, again, I don't think that there's really much comparison between the players, but Steve McNair had plenty of games where he was like, you know, what, 13 for 23 for, like, 114 yards or whatever, yeah. Ran for 40 yards, but he made, like, three huge throws and they won the game. I mean, obviously, you want that, but, I mean, that's just one of those things where it's going to have to remain to be seen. I will say with Cam Ward, it didn't happen like in the Georgia Tech game, for example. It was just bad all the way, including at the end when they had a chance to win. But like the Cal game is a great example of, boy, there's some stuff in that game. They put him in a hole where he did some stuff. You're like, what are you doing? But then at the end, he was insanely good. You know, like those last two drives, it was just like big time play after big time play. So that's what you're talking about. So can you translate that to this league? I mean, I don't know, but there is also, it's like when you get in the elite quarterback conversation, it's like, you know, will Justin Herbert ever win anything? I don't know. I mean, if you're a Chargers fan, yay, you have one of those guys. He's amazing. He's got all the talent. He produces. The stats are great. But like, you know, are you going to win anything?
Right.
I mean, that's the question. And, you know, plenty of time for that to happen. But ultimately, it's not about getting one of those guys. It's not about having someone who does all that stuff. It's about winning and winning championships.
Yeah, but it'd be great to have both. Man, it should be nice to have both, right, of the guys that put up the stats and win the championships. And a lot of times those things do go hand in hand. I mean, you know, Mahomes puts up a lot of stats, and so does Burrow, and so do all those guys near the top. I mean, Lamar is a stat machine. So, I mean, those guys – I mean, the numbers are an important part of it. But, yeah, like I also, you know, playing quarterback, a lot of it comes down to, you know, in the NFL, when you have a functional team, which right now the Titans are still, I think, a ways away from, when you have a functional team, the likelihood is you're probably going to end up in one-score games a lot of the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. And look, you're probably not going to realistically go on some run like, you know, Kansas City just did, where they've won like 17 straight one-score games or whatever the number is, like something absurd like that. But, like, can you come up with some – can your quarterback more times than not, when you're in a position to make plays to win games late in the fourth quarter, can he come up with the big throws? Can he come up with the big moments? And he's not going to do it all the time. Like, believe it or not, Tom Brady didn't do it every time. He did a lot, but he didn't do it every time. But, like, you need your quarterback to be able to come through in those big moments, because this is a league that's designed to be competitive. This is a league that's designed to, you know, be able to fix your team, your roster, in relatively short order. So if the Titans are able to do that, you're probably going to find yourself in some one-score games. And, Joe, that's – I mean, when you really look at it, that really is the difference in a lot of these quarterbacks and the careers that they have, like their ability to come up with big plays at the right times that lead to wins both in the regular season, but more importantly in the playoffs. Like, some guys just have that sort of it factor, and we'll see if Cam Ward is one of those guys.
They do. But also, most of the guys who do those things, kind of to your point earlier, it's like, you know, Drew Brees made those plays, but also he probably threw for like 330 in the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you do the thing that quarterbacks do really well consistently, you're probably more likely to like make the throws on the last drive.
Yeah. You rarely find the guy that is throwing for 115 yards every game that just comes out there and, oh, it's fourth quarter, let me just turn it on.
Especially in today's football, right? And that's where when you compare it to like a McNair or a lot of quarterbacks from back then who weren't in the more, you know, pass-happy offenses, it's just, usually there's a lot more numbers that go along with it. One texter says if maybe Cam Ward's long college experience will pay the same dividends as Bo Nix, LOL. One can hope. Well, look, I do think that it makes it easier to start him right away, which is what he's going to do. You know,
yeah.
It's, you'd rather have that than someone who is just a tremendous talent who, you know, has been in the NFL or college football for 3 years and maybe started for two. But then again, you have a CJ Stroud, and that's what he was, and he comes right into the league, and boom, he's a really good quarterback.
I got one texter that says the biggest thing with Ward is how he's coached. Bo Nix has Sean Payton, which I think we would all agree is a pretty large advantage there. I mean, look, you know, Sean Payton, for all his faults, like he came in and he basically nuked the Russell Wilson situation in Denver there, which clearly, I mean, through year one of Nix worked, and that's his guy. So we'll see what that looks like again here in year two. And if Bo Nix can follow it up. But look, I mean, we've seen enough from Sean Payton at this point to know that he's a really, really good football coach. Brian Callahan's still a big question. And the situation around Cam Ward, even beyond just the roster, which is a huge part of it, coaching is going to be a big part of it too. Like, if you've got the right coach, that certainly goes a long way towards helping you. Hey, look, I don't know how much blame you could put on this. But we talk about Trevor Lawrence around here all the time, right? Like, he has not come close to really living up to what he was supposed to be. And at some point, I think the excuse of what happened to him in his first year, you've got to get past that at some point if you're him. But the fact of the matter is, he did have Urban Meyer as head coach in the first year, and it was about as dysfunctional as you could possibly imagine in the NFL. And that has to have had some sort of effect on him.
Yes, it delayed things, but I mean,
at this point, you got to get past it for sure.
Yeah, I don't still go back to that. You know, I mean, basically, he was like everybody else, like, "What's up with this freaking guy?" You know, oh my God, dealt with it all year, and
who's that on his lap? What's going on over there?
I mean, the thing is, it was the very next year with Peterson that all of a sudden it was like, okay, so here you go. You know, now you see the difference, but. I mean, it's kind of leveled off pretty quickly from there. So,
wait a minute, coach isn't on the plane? Where's he going?
Coach, you get takeout for me from that bar you're going to? Yeah. So, do we blame coaching? I mean, Peterson has done good things with guys who have proven to be really not as great as we thought they were when he was coaching in Philly too.
I agree on
Cam. I mean, coaching is a huge part of it.
Yeah. Like I'm not, again, Trevor Lawrence at this point should have, if he's going to be the player that everybody thought he was going to be when he was drafted, number one, I think we'd probably see it by now. And number two, like even with the horrendous start to his career with that situation, like you probably should have overcome it. By now, I'm just saying, like, that is an extreme example of coaching just going totally the other way on you as a rookie, whereas you've got guys like Sean Payton that have come in and know how to mold their type of quarterback, and that matters with a rookie quarterback.
It does. But then, so look at Stroud. You got a first-time rookie quarterback or a coach who's a defensive guy.
Yep.
And so then you've got a first-time OC who gets all the flowers and gets all this credit and then, you know, maybe could have gotten a head coaching job. And then the next year things go back a little bit, and apparently that OC was an idiot, you know?
Yeah, That's still wild to me. Like, was there some regression from C.J. Stroud in year two? Yes. I mean, last I checked, they still won the division and won a playoff game, which is exactly what they did the year before. But that, I don't know. That's just me.
Right. Yeah, like the offense, and there was not as much consistency with him. Is that him? Is that the Slowick got bad at his job? I mean, but that is what's going to happen, right? As soon as you devote yourself to one of these quarterbacks, it's never going to be like you're not firing him, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, unless it gets real bad after a long period of time, and then fine. But that's the thing with Cam Ward is, you know, this is now everything is going to be about him in this organization. And so if it doesn't work, then the people who are supposed to be helping make him work are put on notice.
So I brought up to begin the show, Joe, that there was something that happened last night that made Cam Ward and the Kyler Murray comparison maybe a little bit stronger to me. And quite frankly, it was hilarious. We'll get to it, what happened last night with Cam Ward, coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us later in the program. By the way, the transfer portal, spring portal, is open. So we're going to get into that coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. Very interesting times for Nico Iamaliava. So we'll get more into that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But, Joe, we brought up last week, you know, the comparison that was out there in the Beast that Dane Brugler put out there of, like, Cam Ward being this taller, slower version of Kyler Murray. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that was, God, does he play a lot of video games? Like, is he going to be able to study film when he does that? Because if you missed it, like, Kyler Murray apparently had some film study clauses in his contract when he got that deal from Arizona back a couple of years ago. So we've been joking about that ever since. But lo and behold, last night, Joe, there's Cam Ward live on a Fortnite stream playing video games. And he's being asked all these different questions about on the stream that he's on about, you know, all these different, who's your top four NFL wide receivers? Who's your top running backs, your favorite coaches, all those things. And I'll play, let's play one clip here of what Cam Ward had to say last night on Fortnite as it relates to his favorite running backs in the NFL.
My top four running backs in the league right now, I would say Tony Pollard, Spears.
Okay. Tony Pollard and Spears, his top two favorite backs in the league right now, Joe. And you'll be interested to know. So here's kind of a summation of his Fortnite escapades last night, which I believe he's since deleted the link to the stream, but Titans fans and other NFL people have found it anyway, so it's too late. Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are both his two favorite running backs in the NFL. Calvin Ridley, number one receiver. Treylon Burks made it into the top four of his favorite receivers in the NFL, to which he said, no capping. That's what it is. And as the coach, his favorite coaches to be around, Brian Callahan, surprisingly, was at number one, Joe. And then he went basically down the draft board. He's like Stefanski at number two. And then I think he got to Daboll at three. And then he skipped to, I believe it was Pete Carroll with the Raiders. So basically just anybody who might take a quarterback in your top five was the way to go. But Brian Callahan, his favorite coach, Calvin Ridley, his favorite receiver, Tony Pollard, his favorite running back. To which Max Chadwick, who is an analyst for Pro Football Focus, said, in this stream, Cam Ward has said that Pollard and Spears are top four running backs in the NFL. Ridley and Burks are top four wide receivers in the NFL. If there is any doubt about the number one pick next week, which there's not, this puts it to bed right now, LMAO. Good stuff from Cam Ward on Fortnite last night.
I mean, I hope so for his sake, you know, like what if the Titans don't take him now as much as he has now embraced them? And what if he's right? Like what if Spears and Burks are like amazing this season? You know, what's the Titans ceiling if all of a sudden Treylon Burks becomes a star receiver in the NFL? What do you think?
Pretty high. Could be. I'm really looking forward to that happening.
It's first round pick, man. First round pick.
He's a first round pick.
A lot of talent. Big, speedy.
Trevor says, that pause, he had to Google who the Titans running backs were.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought, too.
Say, wait a minute. Who are these running backs? Where am I going?
Like Spears? I don't know what his first name, but Spears, I guess. You know? Yeah. I'm trying to think who is is my guy, the other guy still on the roster? You know who I'm talking about. The next guy.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh my! The Titans running back.
Julius Chestnut?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. I didn't, look, I did not know that you were like some big Julius Chestnut guy. So there you go.
Well, I mean, we like, well, I mean, we as a show, like, I thought we, you know, basically like Julius Chestnut. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a good story. Great name. You know, that if he would have gone to Chestnut, you know, Chestnut, he's top 10. Not quite top five, but he's top 10, you know. Then that really would have been something. By the way, real quick, this is amazing, this whole thing with Cam Ward. But while I'm thinking about it, did you see Koharski, who reported, who's visiting today?
No.
Cam Scataboo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. You're gonna order the jersey. Order that Titans jersey.
Well, you know, Jordan James, too, which is like... Yeah. I mean, which, so, like, is there a little bit of a push of, like, middle round, we need a power back?
I think they're taking it back. Like, I know Kuharski thinks that that's just a ludicrous thing. I am not going to be shocked at all if they take a running back.
Dude, if they get Cam Scataboo, the fortunes of this franchise have completely turned around in one fell swoop. What will he say about Cam Scataboo on Fortnite?
I don't know. A lot of Cams could be walking around here. At the end of it.
That's true. There's got to be some t-shirts you can make out of that, cam to cam.
Keith on the text line says, so we know Ward has situational awareness now. Jared from Spring Hill says, what a world we live in nowadays. This is embarrassing for me as a Titans fan. Got this dude playing Fortnite. Not that that bothers me, but it's the streaming aspect of it. Always got to have attention on him at all times. This is embarrassing. I hope we pick him and he busts. Callahan, Brinker, and Borgonzi are gone. The Fortnite.
Are you like 103 years old, Jared from Spring Hill?
The
Good
Fortnite
God,
was
calm down.
The final straw from Jared from Spring Hill. Hey, newsflash, these kids do a lot of streaming with their video games nowadays.
These kids and their rock and roll. It's so embarrassing.
Somebody says, you can hear Cam shuffling papers before answering the questions about running back. That's Matt. He's like, wait a minute. I know I've got my binder here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Pollard. That's who it is. Tony Pollard is the.
If you would have
back.
Said Bryce Oliver, then I really would have been impressed.
Well, I found that to be pretty funny. And look, you know, apparently the link has now been removed. Just leave it out there, man. It's awesome. The clips are already out there anyway. You might as well just leave it.
Yeah, it's like deleting the tweet that everybody saw and has screenshotted and is sharing with the entire world.
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, you know. It's one of those things where, you know, if he ends up being a good player, him doing that kind of stuff is going to be awesome and funny. Like, I thought last night was, number one, it was like he's got a little bit of personality to him. Now, one person did say, like, you know, Kyler Murray pretty good at Call of Duty. Cam Ward's got some work to do on Fortnite. So I didn't sit there and, like, watch his
he's
Fortnite
not very
ability,
good.
But apparently, according to this texture, he wasn't very good.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, he does have a lot of personality, you know. It's this is an example of, yeah, if he's good, I think he's going to be a great star in Nashville, you know. But again, I will also say, like we said before, like if Will Levis is good, these freaking Mayo commercials continue to get made and they're funny.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, God, you cringe, a Mayo quarterback. They're like, no, no, every time they play him, you know. But, like, had he been good, he had a chance to be that too. And, again, maybe Levis will be that somewhere else.
But was that the last step of official confirmation on Fortnite last night that Cam Ward's the Tennessee Titans? It sounded that way to me. Like, I was convinced before. I'm certain now Cam Ward is the pick.
It's confirmation he thinks he is.
Yeah. It's happening.
I mean, why he would have that strong of an indication without basically being told, I don't know. But
yeah.
Boy, what a surprise that would be for everybody if he isn't.
Well, if he's not, I'll be interested to see what his how that list adjusts, you know, when he's drafted by, like, you know, Cleveland or whoever. Is, like, Brian Callahan still your favorite coach? And Tony Pollard's still running back one in the league?
He's going to go to Cleveland, immediately demand that they trade for Treylon Burks.
Yeah, does Burks still make the cut?
I need Treylon Burks on my team.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans. As we mentioned, the transfer portal and the spring window now open in college football. What could that mean for Tennessee and some more stuff coming out on the Nico front that is making this very, very interesting for him. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.